All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Cypress Trail Hideout, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's an F Yeah Friday on The Usual Suspects. What better place to make F stand for fun than having a little fun on a road show? You just heard Charlie Palillo tell you, we are at Cypress Trail Hideout. We are going to be here up until 4 o'clock. We're going to have some fun games and shenanigans on an F Yeah Friday. And with Barry in El Paso and on remote with Nicholas back at the studio, one Cody Stutes is stepping in today and Monday, filling in. Cody, as you know, and I do not hide this, I always enjoy working with you, so I am glad to have you here today.
Thank you. And the symmetry of him being in an old West Texas town and me having gone to school in a West Texas town, like, a little connection there.
I don't feel any connection to
okay,
that
okay,
all
right,
I don't
then.
See
we
that
just
being
move right past
yeah,
that,
let's
then.
Just move right on just by
fire
that.
Fire on through.
So we're going to be here all day. We're going to take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. This is a fantastic spot, and they got a lot going on. It's a big weekend. Of course, Sunday, Cinco de Mayo. They're going to have a queso cook-off. You bring your own crock pot. You compete for free. There's Mexican beer and margarita specials. That's going to be fantastic. So you can check that out. Then Saturday is like their one-year anniversary. So it's the first annual crawfish boil on the patio, music and mud bugs, all that good stuff going on. And, of course, we're going to be here all day today. So whatever, you don't need any more motivation than that to come on out, say hi, grab some great food, and, of course, some cold beverages and hang out.
It's like their one-year anniversary or it is their one-year anniversary?
I don't think it's like – since it's a three-day affair, I don't think it's going to be pinpointed to just one anniversary.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
How's that for you trying to put me on the spot in segment number one?
You know what I really...
It's on.
You know
because
what
Nick and Barry say that I make fun of you, and I do not, but I will.
You know what I appreciate about a place like this? It's a barbecue place.
Yes.
And I know when I walk out of here, I'm not going to smell like a barbecue place.
Boy, but it's just enough. There's just enough aroma
just
to say,
hint.
You know, it,
if they
it
made
smells
this a candle,
awfully good.
If they made this a candle,
oh.
I'd burn that.
There you go.
I'd burn
That's
that.
That's actually... Well, you know what? If you were... if you were certain NBA players in Brooklyn, you might burn more than that. D'Angelo Russell.
I don't understand. I don't. It's so. Even if the NBA and the NFL, and I don't think MLB seems to care that much about it, but even if the NFL and the NBA ever got it so their players could smoke weed without penalty,
yeah.
The laws around the country are so different that players would inevitably get caught up.
It just seems like. It's such a relaxed topic now. It used to be taboo to even mention it, and now it's like anyone, even if you're in a state where it's not legal, like Texas, people are still freely and openly talking about it, talking about when they do it, talking about all these other things.
Yeah.
But if you're a guy that's looking at a big-time, max-type deal in free agency this summer, and you're risking – Nick brought it up yesterday, and we talked about it – and you're taking that risk now – one, you haven't matured like you said you have, and two, you got a lot of really bad people giving you advice.
There are so many ways that you can not get caught that to get caught is not necessarily a commentary on weed and where it is in this country. It's more a commentary on that person's, I don't want to say intelligence, but carefulness. Carefulness.
Okay.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying. I mean, yeah, just be smart, you know? Just make sure that you... You play your cards right, and then, as I said to Nick yesterday, and then when you're in, like, year two or three of, like, a 4 or 5 year deal, and you want to, you know, have
you
some fun in the offseason, then
go for it.
Do
yeah.
what you got to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was crazy. But if you want some good aroma and some great food and beverage, Cypress Trail Hideout, 25610 Hempstead Road. It's right nearby Black Horse Golf Course, if you know where that is, off of 290. Tyler's already sampling what we talked about yesterday, which is the queso with the fajita meat, or with the brisket in it, looks fantastic. Mm. There is plenty of good food to be had here, and I look forward to sampling it as we get going here. I did want to mention to you guys, I mentioned earlier in the week that we are now expecting child number two. And with that, I believe that my wife thinks that I need to be take it up a notch in terms of my attentiveness and my willingness to help out or do things in certain terms.
She's trying to get you a refresher course going? Is that what's happening?
I think she uses it to her advantage.
Okay.
If we're just going to be honest here because no one else is listening, I think she honestly realizes that if she – now that the word is out that she's pregnant, she just realizes that she can use that to say, I need to do more any chance that she gets so she can do less. So with that being said, she already likes to wake me up in the middle of the night, no matter what happens, to tell me something's going on that I need to fix. The
right.
dogs need to go out, whatever. And I'm normally good about that.
Sure.
But I expect at the most that'll be maybe once a night. Okay, now that she's pregnant, it's multiples. Last night, it was ridiculous. I thought that I was going to actually get some good sleep. First, I had to let the dogs out.
Uh-huh. So that's one.
That's one. Come back to bed. I'm solidly sleeping now, and we're getting into like 2 or 3 hours.
You're like into REM, you know,
Definitely.
Which is where you get the best sleep.
And I get the tap on the face.
Babe,
are you up? Well, I am now. She said, hey, I think I just heard Bobo throw up in the doorway of the bedroom. I'm like, okay. She's like, well, are you going to go get it? I'm like, you're not going to step in it. I mean, I can get it, but okay. So I get up and I look, and it's just dry food. So I go, it's going to be fine. So I go and I start picking it up and everything like that. She goes back to sleep. I get it all picked up, throw it in the trash can in the kitchen, go back to bed, get under the covers. I'm ready to just shut it back down again. And she goes, babe, did you throw the throw up in the trash can in the kitchen or did you take it all the way outside?
Oh,
I go,
good grief.
I put it in the kitchen wastebasket. Why? She goes, you know I'm pregnant, and if I smell that, I'm going to throw up. So I guess I'll have to get up when I get up and throw it in. And I'm like, I laid there for a second. I was like,
ooh.
Nope, I'm going to have to do this now, yeah. Get back out of bed, go outside, throw it out, come back in, whatever like that. And she's like, yeah, sorry. I go, you're not. You're not.
But I just imagine this being like one of those cartoons where you see the cartoon character get out and they like slide their feet in their slippers and they just shuffle across their house like with their robe on. And
like even the dogs pop their head up like, better you than me. I don't know what the hell you're doing. I'm like, yeah. And everything is I'm sorry. I'm like, but you don't really mean it, so don't even say it. It's okay.
Don't ruin the meaning of that word. Like you know,
right.
don't overuse
don't
that.
Don't devalue it enough. I mean, you already, every time she's like, even before she goes to bed, babe, before you go to bed, can you do this, that, and the other thing? I'm like, yeah, I got it. She's like, I'm sorry. No, you're not. Just say thank you and we're good. But
right.
I'm sorry is not going to cover it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry is not as good as thank you.
No. Not at all.
She knows she's the boss lady. She knows she's
that wholeheartedly, but especially in times like this, it's kind of hard to.
She knows she's sending out orders.
Yeah, she knows there's certain times you just, no matter what you say, you're not going to get me to change what I'm doing, like Saturday morning basketball.
Yeah.
Don't interrupt that, because that is my time to get away.
Right.
But other than that, for the most part, yeah, she wins out a lot.
Yeah, so. Well, that's the pitfalls of marriage, I guess.
If she's responsible for carrying 2 children 9 months at a time for us, then yeah.
Yeah, don't start that conversation.
No, I'm not bringing it up with her.
Because you don't want her to go you were there at the start and the finish, but where were you for 9 months?
I hear that all the time.
Sure.
And I'm like, you know what? I've read enough articles to know by now it's not possible for me to do this, so don't even bring it up because it's not going to happen.
Just throw back at her, you know how much – what is it called? There's like the weight that men gain when their significant other is pregnant.
Sympathy weight?
Sympathy. Like, babe, you know how much sympathy weight I'm about to gain? Like, just kind of throw that at her one day and see how that works out.
Oh, Nick's going to be happy about that. Yeah, because I got results from my doctor. I did a whole – she wanted to make sure, we're all healthy and everything like that. And I got results from my doctor. And because we've had so much stress in the last 6 months waiting out to make sure this baby was going to be okay, I was like, man, the sympathy weight, because – you're just stressing out so much, and then she's eating whatever the hell she wants. You
right.
just join in.
Yeah.
And now the doctor's like, yeah, that's over now. So you're going to probably need to drop about 7 to 10. So I'm like, all right, so I'm running last night. And then I come back in, and she's like, hey, I go, that's from now on, that's your food. I am not getting near that anymore.
I'll take some celery.
Not quite to that level, but yeah, because I already know I'm going to take a ribbing from Nick and Barry, so I've got to at least make sure that I get on it. So
yeah.
Yeah, so we got that going for us until we get those numbers down. But other than that, I got the checkup was good.
Good.
And everything internally is good, and the blood pressure and all that. So I'll live with it, and I'll just have to deal with the honeydews.
Yeah, which is now just like
it's on steroids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It gets all right, ratcheted up.
We're going to take you all the way till 4, and we're going to have some fun. Plenty on the agenda today, but of course, as we always do, if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, we're here for you. 713-780-3776. Normally, we don't take calls on the road, but if we can hear, and I think right now we could probably hear, we'll take your calls, but always check in the text line. Of course, you can reach us at Twitter, where it's at @Cody_Stutes, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. And of course, because you know that Cody is in, that means you know that Barry is out, and therefore, Nick and I, and thanks to a very good suggestion from a listener, decided that a lot of you know Barry on the air, but you haven't really heard his comedy. So we're going to make sure that our comedian of the week on an FEF Friday is none other than Barry Laminack. We'll have clips of Barry's comedy, 115, 215, 315, so that you will not be without your fix of Barry Laminack on an FEF Friday. That's just the way we do things around here. So stay tuned for that coming up after the break. We're going to be back with a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Oh, man. Super Bowl 51. How many of y'all are here from out of town tonight? Are here from out of town? Clap your hands for me. Cool. Listen, after the game, I'm going to need y'all to pack up and get out because the traffic is bad enough. And we don't have time to teach y'all how to drive like we drive here in Houston. We know who it is because y'all use your blinkers. We don't do that here. If that was an option, we would not get those on our car. Be like, just put another cylinder in there so I can just get up in front of everybody and merge. That's what I do.
There he is, the man, the myth, the El Paso comedian this weekend. It's Barry Laminack on the road. Cody Stutes in for him. Nick back at the studio. And, of course, Tyler keeping us on the air here as we are on the road doing a road show, as we mentioned in segment number one, from the Cypress Trails hideout. And I'm telling you right now, the barbecue is fantastic here. The atmosphere is cool. The weather right now, not conducive, but I'm telling you, their outdoor patio area is fantastic. Right out here by Black Horse on Hempstead Road. Looks like a fantastic spot to spend the weekend. They got plenty of stuff going on all weekend long, so check them out. And, of course, all day today, check us out. Charlie's still here enjoying some of the tasty morsels at the bar. We're going to be here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7.
What were the chances Tyler was going to get assigned to the barbecue joint?
See, Tyler thought I was taking a shot yesterday, but I know that two things for sure I know about Tyler. He's a barbecue foodie guy, and he is a beer and beverage guy. And I believe he's a beer connoisseur and a barbecue connoisseur. And I said at the station next to AJ, Tyler is the consummate expert for barbecue. Taking so
the,
I'm with you.
Taking the words right out of my mouth.
I had the option to either be at the station or come here. And I would have had to produce your show, I think, from the station and the Blitz. And in hindsight, I probably should have done that because I have some stuff going on after work that I shouldn't be
this far out. Yeah.
But I forgot, and so I chose here.
Okay. Well, it has its advantages.
It does.
As we can see.
I'm very happy with my choice.
Yes. Well
as
done.
You should be. And you'd be happy with your choice if you came out here and joined us today.
There you go. Wow, that was really
smooth. Nice.
That was a handoff transition like no other.
I don't know if you know this, Joel. They used to pay me to do this.
You're a professional radio guy.
I am.
At you. All right.
Capital
well, then,
P.
Why don't you lead us into what you want to talk about, Cody
Stutes?
All right.
It's so weird the Astros don't play on a Friday.
It very much is.
It is so weird. And for those of you who don't know, they're playing in Mexico.
Monterrey.
The next couple of days.
I don't know if that was an accent or not, but we'll give it a shot.
Which one of the Astros PR folks tweeted out a picture. Looks like what I would expect Monterrey to look like.
Which is what?
Which is very beautiful, yeah. Mountainous, and then kind of a cloud smog over the top.
Okay.
Which is something that you find in the mountainous regions of Mexico cities. And it's really weird they don't play a game on Friday. I mean, I get you get down there and you get adjusted and you play two.
And it's a two-game series against a divisional rival. in the Angels. But interesting how the altitude's going to mess with that as well, because obviously the starting pitching has not just been locked in other than Justin Verlander.
Right.
It looks like Garrett Cole's figuring some stuff out. But again, yesterday, Brad Peacock roughed up again with a really tough fourth inning. Tyler, of course, a huge Astros fan as well as myself, watching all of this unfold going, you know what? A couple of weeks ago, I did a video about Dallas Keuchel and an article and basically said, you probably don't need him because the back end of the rotation was really pitching well at that point. And Miley's been good. But at the same time, McHugh was good. Peacock looked like he was doing – he was settled in. You weren't going to – you know, for Garrett Cole was figuring some stuff out, but you don't worry about those two horses at the front of the rotation.
No.
But now you look at it and go – McHugh's been roughed up a couple starts in a row. So has Peacock. What are you going to do?
There were definitely reasons, just as recently as both of their past two starts, before their past two starts, to think, okay, McHugh and Peacock can hold this down. And certainly until reinforcements arrive in whatever shape they take, be it a minor leaguer that gets called up and assists you with starts here or there, or a trade, something like that. But you're looking at a situation where – if this is not going to be a season-long solution, if you don't believe that, yeah, and injuries happen here and there, but if you don't believe McHugh and Peacock as the 4-5 or the 3-5, however you want to say it, whatever, as those two guys' spots on this rotation, if they're not settled and solid and you don't believe that they can do it the whole season, then you've got to execute a plan or begin executing a plan to fix that. And to me, the easiest one, and maybe the best one, is get on the phone. You know his number. He'll recognize your number when it pops up on the celly and find out what the beard wants to come pitch for the team.
You can just go to the Smoothie King at the corner of Richmond and what is that, Sage?
Yeah.
In our neighborhood where the station is, because I see him probably three times a week driving around the Smoothie King in his Ferrari station wagon. I call it. It's a white kind of a hatchback Ferrari
station wagon.
So he's still in town, and so I'm sure he's easy to find. But the thing is, it's just how far do you want to go? Because I mentioned yesterday.
It takes two to tango.
And Tyler added a little bit more clarity to it. But I know that Astros fans in the Crawford boxes, I think it was, that reached out and put Marcus Stroman in a Astros uniform and said, and he liked the tweet. But Tyler was saying he liked every tweet that was wishing him a happy birthday, whatever the topic was. But I was like, look, you have two different roads you can go at, or three. You can say, hey, these guys, you just believe long-term these guys are going to settle in. You don't need any help. Or you can go do what you said. You can pick up the phone. You can call Dallas Keuchel. But you know you don't have to give anything up, but you have to give up a lot of money, because I believe that he's still going to try and make up for all of the money that, or
sure,
at least a portion of the money he lost when he didn't get the deal that he and Boris thought they were going to get. Or you can go and figure out that there's a prospect or two that you can add to a package that you can go out and explore, a Stroman, a Bumgarner, guys that are out there, veteran pitchers that you can add to your staff that are proven that you know is just going to nothing but up to the stock of your starting rotation.
Here's why I believe Stroman and any sort of trade right now is just totally out of the question.
Okay.
I just finished reading Astros Ball. You remember Ben Ryder wrote the 2014 article about the Astros. They're going to be 2017 World Series champions. They win. He writes a book. It took me too long to read it. But reading the process that Jeff Luhnow went through for Justin Verlander, okay, for Justin Verlander, reading the process that he went through and the convincing that it took to get him to make that move.
Meaning Crane or Luhnow?
Luhnow.
Okay.
Luhnow. The convincing it took Luhnow to move on from this prospect, move on from this prospect. And the way they looked at it and the way they talked about it was to trade for Justin Verlander, it cost 16 to 18 years of team control. And you think about an addition of a guy like a Stroman or any of these other big names you may be thinking about, even a Madison Bumgarner. And Bumgarner's an interesting one because if you want to go get him, not only does it cost prospects, so that's years of team control.
Okay.
It's also going to cost you money at the end of the year.
Is
because
it? If you want to re-sign him, he's free at the end of the year, so it shouldn't cost you as many prospects to go get him.
But I'm just telling you the way they look at it is half a season of Madison Bumgarner for, let's say, 6 years of team control. Like, that's hard for the process that they trust.
Okay.
It's hard for them to process that. And at some point, you have to do it. Okay?
But let me counter that
okay.
by saying, I hear what you're saying, But let's look at how quickly your top prospect can tumble from the pyramid all the way to the bottom. Because you look at Martes a few years ago. This was the guy that was the untouchable pitching prospect that was going to be an Astro with team control for a long period of time. And he crapped the bed. He was to the point where you're like, okay, he's gone.
He was a specific name the Tigers were asking for that Luno said hands off.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, and so now let me give you another guy. Not the point guard. Let me give you Derek Fisher, who suddenly went from top prospect from a hitting perspective to a guy that got a mysterious bug bite, and then you couldn't even find his picture on the back of a milk carton. And now you have to ask, is he in the system? Is he still playing? And you take it to this year, and you look at Kyle Tucker, who can't hit his weight.
Nope.
You look at, you know, Forrest Whitley, who everybody they're protecting from bringing up to the big leagues because they need him to still be that guy from a reputation standpoint alone.
Yep.
But he's had two good starts followed by two bad starts intertwined. You just there is no guarantees in the system.
No doubt.
The guys we're talking about are guaranteed to be above average pitchers in Major League Baseball.
And see, when you think about value, they value those years of control and those cheap prospect years more than they value the dollar bill, because they had to do the convincing on Verlander's money. If you can convince Crane on the money, it's easier to do Keuchel than it is to do a trade.
Okay.
You just got to find the money, and you just got to scratch the checkout.
Well, if you want to let us know and chime in, we're here for you. You can either text us or call us, 713-780-3776, or you can hit us up on Twitter. We're back with a whole lot more. Just getting started in the first half hour. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Cypress Trail Hideout. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry's out, so Cody Stutes is in. If you could see what I see, let's just say the external wiring on Cody Stutes.
Yeah.
He keeps playing with his
charger.
Is that what you're calling it?
Yeah, it's the
your live wire.
It's the battery block wire to my laptop.
Uh-huh.
And
that's what you're calling it?
Yeah.
Because
Tyler
and I see is you dip under the table, and then there's a lot of fast arm movements and weird faces, and then you come up for air claiming that there's something going wrong with your power pack.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
It feels like I'm holding a grenade because you got to, like, hold it just the right.
Can we just put that quote on Twitter? Cody Stutes, I feel like I'm holding a grenade, and it's about to go off.
Just the right way.
Oh, pull the pin, sir.
Look, there, perfect. Look, now it's charging. It's in the right spot. Just don't touch anything.
You've jerry-rigged this that's not going to last
this
for long.
This is a maximum example of my undying cheapness because of Amazon.
Why is it because of Amazon?
Because you can go to the store and I can get a replacement, like universal, blah, 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 power thing, and it works.
Right.
And it's like $20. But it comes with all this extra junk I don't need. Like all these other different, you know, universal plugins.
Adapters, right.
I just need one for my Toshiba, which, by the way, sorry if Toshiba's calling us. Not a fan. Preferred my Dell, but I got Toshiba.
Whoa, Fred. Okay. Easy now.
All right.
Easy.
All right. But I was like, okay, surely I can find just a Toshiba, and it could be about $4.50 cheaper. And I did, and I haven't ordered it because I've been able to kind of rig it for 2 weeks. I've known this was coming. This
Dude,
is not something new.
If you find what you're looking for on Amazon, just go get it.
I know.
Good Lord, man.
I know. And I should have just bought the universal thing weeks ago and not had this problem. But now, because I don't have the time to wait for it to come in from Amazon, now I got to go buy the universal one.
You guys and your hardware in your hands. You're worried about your charger. I see Nick on Twitter this morning showing me that these bolts are all over the road and they're attracted to his car and they keep drilling his tires. I'm like, what's with you guys and all the hardware issues?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
There's a lot going on with the suspects.
At least my truck works now. Like, that was a dicey
Dude,
situation.
I'll tell
for
you
a
this.
While.
When I thought Tyler's truck looked like it had been through some things, but every time I see the Stutesmobile in the parking lot, I'm like, how many more days is this thing going to stay on the road?
The first day we ever did a show together, I smelled like antifreeze because my air conditioner was blowing antifreeze.
I remember.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to smell some good barbecue, 25610 Hempstead Road, come on out to Cypress Trail Hideout. It is a fantastic spot. A good friend of mine, Pat, and Wesley and these guys, they put out a really neat spot. It's going to have their one-year anniversary this weekend, Cinco de Mayo on Sunday with a queso contest, which sounds delicious. Saturday they're going to have two bands, live entertainment going from 2 p.m. all night long, and the first annual crawfish boil. So that's going to be great stuff. And, of course, we'll be here all day. Blitz will be here as well, so we'll be here till 7 o'clock tonight. Charlie's still in the house enjoying some of that Papa Charlie's barbecue. So come on out, see us, hang out, have some fun with ESPN 97.5. We were talking about the Astros.
Just to clarify for the folks, it's not Charlie Polillo's barbecue.
No, not that Papa Charlie, because if he ever, like, expanded the family, I would be, I don't know about shocked, but say mildly surprised.
Good way to put it.
Thank you.
Good way to put
it. So Uncle Charlie, as I like to call him, not Papa Charlie. Uncle Charlie is the ESPN version. Papa Charlie is the master
Delicious
of the barbecue.
Barbecue. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because if we're talking about Charlie spreading the seed, I'm out. So we were talking about the Strohs before the break.
Yes.
So you're trying to tell me. Here's the thing. Because, again, it's a little bit disturbing when you look at your two top prospects or the latest sexiest names in the farm system of your Houston Astros in Forrest Whitley and still hanging on to Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker can't hit his weight and he's skinny. And Forrest Whitley's been up and down. You were telling me that the A&M prospect is probably their best bet right now in the minor leagues, right?
So Corbin Martin is a former A&M pitcher. He's flown through the system. And I watched him and Whitley and Bukauskas, who are the top pitching prospects in the organization. I watched them all pitch at the exhibition games before the season started.
Right.
Martin's filthy. Martin's stuff is nasty. The tough part with a guy like Martin that I think would be a risky move to the big leagues is he's not efficient with his pitches. He uses a lot of pitches. Like, I was watching just the pitch counter just go up and up and up, and I'm like, man, we're in the third, fourth inning. But he gets results. He was striking out dudes left
and
right.
So he's somewhat like Fromber a year ago, where he gets results, but he wastes a lot of time with walks.
It's not economical. A lot of deep into a lot of counts. But he finishes guys, and the guy is really talented. He's older than Whitley. He's a college guy. Mm-hmm. So those guys typically do advance a little bit quicker than the high school guys. The tough part would be is I don't know that I feel confident if I'm Jeff Luhnow, A.J. Hinch, of just throwing him into the starting spot, the starting rotation. I think they'd prefer all these guys to be back of the bullpen help later on in the season. So it's tough. It's tough for me to imagine them going from minors to major league starting consistently. So that's a hard deal for me to see. I actually have a question. Are we overreacting just a little bit to the recent failures of McHugh? And because Cole's strikeouts,
he
are
should
right.
be good. You know, again, it was really cold in Minnesota the other night. He threw eight straight balls, and then he settled in, got warmed up, and he was rolling the rest of the game.
Well, I look around baseball; it feels like every stud pitcher is having a slow start. Scherzer's terrible to start the year.
Oh God, he's awful. Sale is
Sale's
awful.
Sale's bad. Trevor Bauer is bad.
He had one bad inning against the Astros. I mean, he mowed the Astros down.
That's true. That's
I don't want to say dominating like he did with the Bregman bobblehead
right.
tweet,
yeah.
But I do want to say that he was above average.
Yeah. Well, the body of work so far this season has not been dominant Cy Young candidate like I thought. And that's
here's but the thing.
But look around baseball,
April,
that's everybody.
In April, with all the people that are ready to jump off the bandwagon and we're pressing the panic button, I would say too soon.
Okay.
But now as in the next 2 weeks, I think you got to make a hard decision on, are you good? Are you going to wait to the trade deadline? Or do you need to make something happen?
So we're not so much saying it as it's an issue now as it's something to monitor that could be an issue soon.
Right, because a year ago, it was hard to argue that they didn't have the best pitching staff in all of baseball from a starting perspective. Now, we saw what Cleveland has, and that was with Clevinger out, and now, of course,
Kluber
breaking his arm. But before then, head and shoulders, Cleveland, and Barry was all over this from the start. Cleveland has the best rotation in baseball. So you look at it, you know, even if they're kind of scaling back financially what they're doing from their lineup perspective, when you put those starters out there, you got a chance. And based on their division, they're going to be there. So you know that that's a formidable opponent. Red Sox pitching is crap. so I'm not worried about that. But when the Yankees get healthy because of all they've been able to do while they've had all these injuries, I'm worried about the Yankees and the Indians because I'm not worried about winning the division. I'm worried about what I need to go through before I get to the World Series.
Can we definitively say, it's early, but can we definitively say they should have kept Charlie Morton?
I think, and obviously in hindsight, it's easy to say Marwin was easy to let go now, but I don't think a lot of people wanted to do that. But I think the two players that were the hardest for them to let go were Marwin and Charlie. And I think if you knew you were going to get Brantley and if you knew that Diaz was a guy that you could get relatively cheap, then yes. I really firmly believed, and I was fooled. Charlie Morton is such a low-key guy that has, from the get-go, said how much he enjoyed Houston. I thought he might even give him a little discount, and he'd want to stay here because they took a chance on him and just finish it out here, and I was wrong.
I wonder, too. Now, he ended up getting his Astros contract per year with the Rays. Like,
right.
They gave him 15 per over two, and the Astros seemingly were not going to be willing to offer that. So, good for you. Go get the money. But like you said, if the Astros had come in and it was 225 or it was 220, maybe not 220, but, you know, 225, 228, you know, you get close and you don't set yourself up for failure long term in having a Charlie Morton contract.
You're saying 2 years, $28 million.
Yeah. He's getting 2 years, $30 million
right.
from Tampa.
Right.
So, like, how close did you need to get to keep him? And what did the computer spit out and tell you was his value, and how far away were you from doing that? I thought Morton was done. The way he was talking, and I almost wonder if the Astros felt the same
way. I think you're right. I had
just the mood that he presented, I thought he was done playing
baseball.
I had
an inkling to believe that because, like I said, low-key, said he'd been through a lot in his career.
Yeah.
He got the ring. He was the hero in certain aspects. Yeah, I had a belief that he was either going to be an Astro or he might just call it a career. And I didn't see an offer that big coming, but I also thought, you know what?
Especially
the Astros
the
might
Rays.
Think about it because of the two pitchers that you'd want to hang on to, velocity, spin rate, all, and control. Morton was head and shoulders above where Keuchel used to be. Keuchel wasn't the same pitcher, let's put it that way. And he doesn't have the velocity that Morton has. I thought that was the easy fix. But I will say this. On the flip side, the one thing that gave you concern was the shoulder issues at the end of last
yep.
year into the playoffs where you're like, look, the last thing I want to do is I know how important the bet with McCullers out already with pretty much being a foregone conclusion I'm going to lose Dallas Keuchel. Whoever I get at the back end of my rotation can't be having arm problems.
It's just, you know, I think the thing we got to – newsflash, it's really hard to turn over three starters in your rotation. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how you do it. It's really hard to do that as an organization, and they're doing it. Thankfully, they've done it in a way that hasn't injured the bullpen's effectiveness because you've still got Presley, who's dominant. You've still got Osuna, who's dominant. And then you got guys that you trust in certain spots. And I know people aren't in love with Will Harris in this town, but
they
clearly trust him in different spots. And so the bullpen has been, I mean, can you imagine if the starting pitching was doing this? And the bullpen was an issue,
yeah.
And then it would be the outcry, well, why did you move Peacock?
So,
why did you move McHugh?
So with everything that you said, and you read the Astro Ball book and everything like
yeah.
and with what you're kind of throwing out there a little bit about Luno, here's my question. He got it right on the back end of the bullpen because he made one hell of a savvy move to go get Presley.
Yep.
Then he took the huge risk with Osuna and saying he did his due diligence, which has turned out to be tenfold a phenomenal move for the organization.
The huge PR risk, not necessarily baseball risk.
True, right? But you had to do your due diligence.
Correct, correct.
You had to make sure that something wasn't going to really bite you.
Make sure Major League Baseball wasn't going to suspend him.
Again,
things like that. Yeah.
Because he already, you know, lived through a suspension that maybe was a lot more than it had to be.
And take on the risk that if he becomes a repeat offender in that category, does baseball wash their hands
okay.
of him? Things
so
like
at least,
that.
Like you said, so you didn't have to worry about that aspect. But let's take two names, one you mentioned, and look at it from the perspective of you got to have trust in Luno simply because of those moves. But here's the other thing. Also to my point about how quickly it can turn from a guy that's a guy you can't get rid of to a guy that you could probably do without. Look at the two guys, one you mentioned, the other one, Chris Devinsky, along with Will Harris. Those guys were all-stars
yeah.
that were going to be can't miss. You got to keep them in your bullpen, and you got to keep them in your organization. And now you look at both of them going, what the hell happened? You know, and then, take it a step further. McHugh, who was unstoppable in the bullpen last year.
Mm-hmm.
Peacock, who was your long relief guy, who could also start for you, who was Mr. Everything 2 years
Specialist.
Ago. And those two guys are struggling to the point where we're talking about replacing them in the rotation, and hopefully they can regain what they had in the bullpen if you move them back there.
True.
So There are, you know, not that I'm pressing the panic button or saying this is something have to do move time, but it is time to start getting a little bit more diving, you know, delving down into what you have to consider because of where this team is in the schedule.
And while we are being critical about this move, that move, it's worth noting, Wade Miley looks like it's going to pay off perfect for them.
And I said like, that from the get-go. That was your bargain Keuchel, and you're getting more than Keuchel out of
it. Hey, Dollar Store Dallas, and you found out that it was actually a really good deal.
No doubt about it.
Really good deal.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. It's about that time. Step away for just a couple of minutes. But we've got plenty more to get to. Obviously, the Rockets and the Warriors, and dare I say, a must-win game three for your Houston Rockets. Cody's got a take, and I believe it's something that we've got to get out there because, I mean, it could be earth-shattering, it could be mind-blowing, or it could just be Cody. But he's got a hot take that we're going to get to at some point. So stay tuned for that and a whole lot more. It's the usual suspect. It's ESPN 97.5.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Guess what? Right now.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Cypress Trail Hideout, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, still hour number one, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for a ride on an F-Yeah Friday. F for my friend,
yes,
Cody Stutes, filling in for Barry Laminack. But we're not without Barry, because if you missed it, Barry is our comedian of the week, F for funny. And we will have more clips of his in the second and the third hour, so stay tuned for that. We're talking some baseball before the break. Talking about your Astros. A lot of people chiming in. We know Charlie Morton's numbers are good. We know that Dallas Keuchel is reachable by a phone. But do we think it's time yet that they have to start getting more serious about thinking about adding? Or are we still letting it play itself out in terms of who's going to be where rotationally and otherwise?
The one thing I will say about Keuchel is, as much as it may make sense for the Astros, at some point it's got to make sense for him too, either via money or fit or whatever. And he may still not be at that desperation point on the one-year situation.
About Keuchel?
He's at the desperation point of got to get a deal at some point. But if you listen to the rumors and you believe it, originally, it was $18 million that he wanted, and then you saw maybe he'd take a little bit of a discount for the right spot, the right fit. And the tedious part is if you wait too long or he forces you to wait too long by saying no, maybe it's a bidder's war. San Diego stays around, good.
Red Sox are desperate. If they continue to get desperate, they're in a much more trying situation than the Astros right now because they are struggling in their own division. Whereas the Astros, even with their struggles lately, they're still tied for first in the division.
Well, what if Seattle hangs around, or what if Texas hangs around, and all of a sudden they're like, okay, why don't we go get a guy who's had the ability to take care of business in this division and in the American League in his career, and they add Dallas Keuchel. So then you get into a bidding war, and that's the best-case scenario for Keuchel, and worst-case scenario for the teams that might want him, because every day that goes by, it gets cheaper and cheaper to have Dallas Keuchel.
Right. Now
you're not getting 30 starts out of him now.
No, but again, he's not going to recoup everything that Scott Boras promised him that he's not going to get out of this deal.
He's firing
so
Scott
the
Boras, right?
He better. He already should have fired him except for the fact that he doesn't have a job. Once he gets a job, you better believe he's going to be fired before he looks at free agency next season when he's a year older and a little less proven unless he just sets the world on fire once he gets pitching. I just think that from a Keuchel perspective, look, if you're going to go anywhere where you, especially if you're betting on yourself, and you have less than a season to do it, why not go to a team that offensively, from a lineup perspective, is probably consistently going to put up enough runs to make sure that you get wins, if not quality starts?
Especially because you might have to work into form.
Right. And so instead of going to a lineup that's inconsistent and underproducing, even though the Astros are struggling, you still look at the 11 spot they put up the other night, and you realize in the cold weather of Minnesota it might be one thing. But overall, I don't think there's too many people that would tell you, hey, there's a lineup that I'm worrying about in terms of offensive numbers and production.
I would love to know what the unfiltered computer spit out on Dallas Keuchel is in the Astros organization. Like, what does – not your gut feeling, not your feelings about him. What are the – what is the raw data – tell you in that building? I'd love to know that.
You mentioned raw data. The other thing that I was going to mention to you is, in the past, we would say that, you know, like when Kyle Tucker was ripping the cover off the ball in AAA and in the minors, you were like, well, there's a guy that's primed and ready for the bigs. And then when he got up to the show, he just didn't show out. Well, now, thanks to Major League Baseball and AAA, they've switched the baseballs. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but AAA is now using Major League Baseballs. This gives me more and more credence to saying, if you're doing it in AAA now, from a hitting perspective, you're good. If you're doing it from a pitching perspective, you're really good. Because the bottom line is, when you look at the numbers, and I saw this on the John Ciambi and Rick Sutcliffe game they were doing the other night on ESPN. Mm-hmm. This stat blew my mind. But since they made the switch in AAA to the Major League Baseball, instead of the baseball they were using previously, the numbers have gone through the roof and just kept on going into the stratosphere, and they are ridiculous. Triple A hitters are homering every 32 plate appearances, in Double A every 53 appearances. Last year, MLB hitters homered every 33 appearances, similar to the Triple A rates, but the Double A home run rate is comparable to a level we haven't seen in the major leagues since the strike shortened 81 season. That ball, there's something about it.
Yes.
Because you even look at it, you go, okay, well, I'm looking at those numbers. And then you say, even if the AAA home run rate doesn't increase with warmer weather, at the current rate, AAA would see 1,200 additional home runs compared to last season. 1,200 more home runs in a year's time because you switched to the Major League Baseball.
Now, have you always understood AA, AAA as when you're a hitter in AA, you see more talented pitching, whereas in AAA, you see better pitching because those guys are more refined, and you got a couple guys that have been around professional baseball for a long time? Have you always understood it to be that way?
Yeah, to some degree, but I would say that everybody says it's still a big jump,
yeah,
from a polish standpoint once you get into the big league.
Sure, sure. The thing that triple, like, to have that, like, throw out so many impressive hitting stats from this season so far. Like, you look around, and Alvarez, the big 21-year-old.
Jordan.
Look, if Charlie says it's supposed to be said that way, I'm going to go with Charlie.
I'm with you.
I couldn't find anywhere that it says that, but if Charlie says that, he knows.
Because he said recently he's changed it. But again, I don't.
Are we doing this Melvin Upton, BJ
Dorsett,
Upton thing?
Dorsett, Theismann. I get it, but I don't.
Jadeveon.
JD.
Come on. Anyway, Alvarez, safe that way, okay, if you just go with his last name. Alvarez leads minor league baseball in home runs, is like 2 or 3 points off or 20 points off of batting average, but he's over 400, like all sorts of just amazing stats. You're like, okay, well, is that the baseball? And then you turn around the other way with Whitley's failures early, with some of the other pitching failures early. Is it the baseball? But then the really impressive thing is I go to my guy Corbin Martin. Okay, dude is killing it with this new baseball. That's where you pop the eyes open.
Definitely. And because, like, I was going to say, from the standpoint of Jordan, when you look at that aspect of it, you realize that there are guys in the bigs that have polished their craft way more than AAA.
Yeah.
And pitchers like the names we've been throwing out and a whole lot more that you're going to face on a consistent basis in most every rotation. They're going to have at least an ace, if not a couple of above-average starters. That's going to give you some problems, no matter how comfortable you are in AAA.
And this is not Yuli Gurriel coming over from Cuba,
right.
Lots of experience in professional ball, knows how to adjust things when stuff doesn't go right. This is 21-year-old Alvarez if he comes up, and all of a sudden you go on a cold streak. Does he have the knowledge right now to adjust, fix things in a hurry? Because if you're bringing him up, that's a quick fix.
Right.
That's a quick fix, and it's going to cost someone their job if you're going to bring him up in the form of either Tyler White or Tony Kemp.
No doubt.
So you got to be very, very careful with that.
You're absolutely right. You know, you don't have to be very careful. We got to be very careful when you're out and you're about looking for where you're going to watch sports this weekend. I'm going to tell you right now about the good people at Twin Peaks. I've been telling you about them for quite a while because it's eats, drinks, and scenic views. And this weekend, with everything going on, there is no better time to get to a Twin Peaks because you already know that the beer is going to be 29 degrees on draft and it's going to be ice cold. You know that the food is going to be fantastic because they just added some more smoky meats to their treats menu where you're going to get lots of great food. And, of course, it's going to be those beautiful Twin Peaks girls that are giving you all kinds of great customer service while you find every TV on every sporting event that's going on. And when I mention these sporting events, let's think about that, because this weekend you got the Kentucky Derby, you got HBO Boxing, you got all kinds of NBA playoff action, NHL playoffs, and you're going to be looking for multiple TVs with multiple games so you can keep track of all of it. There's no better place to go than Twin Peaks because they have all of that under one roof. And again, how are you going to beat the scenic views when you know that the beautiful Twin Peaks girls are going to be roaming around the restaurant during commercial breaks and otherwise, when maybe the game's a little boring? You know, the scenes won't be. You know what I'm talking about, fellas. But overall, there's six Houston area locations. There's no better place to watch sporting events and hang out. It is Twin Peaks across the Houston area. It's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views.
ESPN 97.5.